Well, again, I welcome you to our Wausau Bible Church live stream this morning. Obviously, we aren't able to get together in person today, but I hope that the next few minutes will be an encouragement to you and will be something that really you can use as a catalyst for further ministry in your own family, maybe even with others during this difficult time. I want to say just at the onset here that what we're doing this morning and for the foreseeable future isn't a replacement for our regular public gathering. In fact, I view it as a supplement. My prayer is that every live stream, that every recording that we watch will not satisfy, but will actually heighten our anticipation of coming together again when the isolation time is over. And so I hope that'll be the case week to week, that as we gather in this fashion, that you will just have a greater longing for the body and desire to get back together with each other. That is the way that God has intended for it to be. That is the pattern in the New Testament, and so we look forward to that time. However, you have the opportunity and the privilege to worship in a way that maybe is a bit unfamiliar to you, and hopefully that just stirs your soul and really is an encouragement week after week as we meet. I've been in contact talking with other pastors, and one of the things that comes up pretty regularly is this. Back when I was in Bible college, there were several times when I was asked to preach to a room that only had a few students and an instructor in it. And as preacher boys, we were told to preach as if there were hundreds of people listening. But because there were only a few people in the room, that exercise really seemed a little bit artificial. We would complain about it, young, dumb college students not seeing the value. Well, obviously, I've been extremely thankful through the years for that practice way, way back then. Because whether it's a nursing home or a recorded class or a digital service, or an auditorium full of energetic worshipers, the preaching of the scriptures is God's unique way of communicating the message of the living word. And that's our desire here even this morning in an electronic way. So today we read and we listen and we learn and we grow. And today we worship and we do this to the glory of God. So I'd invite you to bow with me. And let's go ahead and pray as we begin our time together here this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and are very, very thankful that you are with us in each and every location where we're at. Maybe this morning we know a bit more about that than we normally would. Normally we're gathered here, and we're thankful for your presence here. But in each and every home, in each and every heart, in the ears of those who are tuning in, God, you are present. You are an incredible God, equally available in each of these places and all around the world. Your attention is not divided. Your care is not minimized in one place and maximized in another. You are equal in your holiness and your righteousness and your power and your love. You are God. We all together today, we gather together, if only in spirit, we gather together as the body of Christ, and we worship you. So we thank you for this technology and the opportunity to get together. We thank you and praise you that you are here in the person of the Holy Spirit, and you will open our eyes, and you will teach us, and you will convict us, and you will shape us to be better servants for you. I certainly pray for the body today of Wausau Bible Church. And God, I pray that you would strengthen our spirits, that you would encourage us, that you would use what is done here today as a comforting exercise, a relation-building exercise, a time of communion. We praise you for who you are and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're not going to sing. You can be thankful for that because I think that all that you would hear is me singing a solo to you, and you don't want that. But what I do want to do is I want to, this morning, read a hymn to you. As I've said before so many times, I so appreciate hymn writers. They're able to do what I can't, in that they are able to take these massive thoughts about God and who he is and what he does and his character, and they're able to write them down succinctly, most of the time in poetic type of form, and it really helps us connect with who God is, and they help us worship a great deal. This morning, I'd like to read for you a hymn that you probably don't know. A few of you may have heard of it, but it's an old hymn. It's called "Afflicted Saint, to Christ Draw Near." Afflicted Saint, to Christ Draw Near. It was written back in the 1700s by a man named John Fawcett. Connie Dever, a pastor's wife in Washington, D.C., has added some additional text. But I'd like to read it to you, and I'd like you just to contemplate the words. You're not going to be listening to a beautiful solo or a choir singing it this morning. You're going to be listening to it as it's read. And so let me encourage you to just really ponder, think through the message of this song. I'll read verses 1, 2, and then the refrain, and then verses 3, 4, and the refrain again. "Afflicted saint, to Christ draw near." Afflicted saint, to Christ draw near. Your Savior's gracious promise hear. His faithful word you can believe, that as your days your strength shall be. Your faith is weak, your foes are strong, and if the conflict should be long, the Lord will make the tempter flee, that as your days your strength shall be. So sing with joy, afflicted one. The battle's fierce, but the victory's won. God shall supply all that you need. Yes, as your days, your strength shall be. Should persecution rage and flame, still trust in your Redeemer's name. In fiery trials, you shall see that as your days, your strength shall be. When called to bear your weighty cross, or sore affliction, pain, or loss, or deep distress, or poverty, still as your days, your strength shall be. So sing with joy, afflicted one. The battle's fierce, but the victory's won. God shall supply all that you need. Yes, as your days, your strength shall be. The main thought, obviously, of that hymn, "Afflicted Saint, to Christ Draw Near," is that in drawing near to Christ, he will supply your every need for as long as you have breath. As long as you are alive, as long as you face the trials of this world, as your days, as long as your days are, your strength shall be. He's there. He's here. He's with us, he knows, he cares, he's active, he's involved. What a tremendous, settling thought back from 1782, from the pen of John Fawcett. It's a wonderful hymn, and maybe in the days ahead we'll have an opportunity to learn that as a congregation together. Well, I praise the Lord for the men who he has added to our fellowship here. I'm very thankful for women and children as well. But men, I am thankful for you. Men who love God, men who are committed to the Word, men who lead our church and lead our families. Men who desire to serve God's people, and they're willing to lead with humble, teachable spirits. We have many at Wausau Bible Church who would fit that description. And certainly our elders and our deacons are some of those men. Today, one of our elders will come and teach us. He's going to teach us more about the God we worship. Today, Ray Appleton is going to come, and he's going to help us to learn about our strong, promise-keeping God, Elohim.
We're going to start out by reading the first two verses of the Bible. This is Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Let me read that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So in those two verses, we see a name that's translated into English as God, but in the original language that was translated into English, that word was Elohim, and there are many names for God in the Bible, in the original language. And today we're going to look at an article. We're going to listen to an article about this name, Elohim. Elohim is the strong one who keeps covenant, preserver of the human race. Let's listen to this article. The very first name the Lord uses to describe himself is the name Elohim, being the first name of God. Makes it vitally important that we understand the truth found in this magnificent name. This name is used over 30 times in Genesis chapter 1 alone, and 2,570 times in the Old Testament. Every time the English word God is mentioned in the Bible, in the King James Version, it refers to Elohim, our Creator. Elohim is a plural noun, which begins to reveal to us in the first verse of the Bible that God is a Trinity. The root of Elohim is El, which means the mighty, strength, or the strong one. And we can read about that more in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. It also means the one that keepeth covenant. In Solomon's temple prayer, he says, "There is no God, Elohim, like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee." That's in 1 Kings 8, verse 23. Because Elohim is the strong and mighty one, he has the power to make covenants and to keep them forever. The glorious truth is that Jesus Christ himself is Elohim, for the Bible tells us that by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Colossians 1, verse 16. Elohim created us by his power and then put himself in a covenant or promise relationship with man through the blood of his covenant. And we can read about that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Let's go to prayer. O Lord, we lift up your name, Elohim. You are the one that has created us by your great power. You are the great God of the universe, and yet you chose to give us a Bible full of blessed promises to live by. Thank you, Elohim, for writing down your covenant in the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave to us the precious covenant of the cross. We worship you and adore you, our Elohim. And so, as we just learned a moment ago, your name Elohim tells us so much of who you are to us and for us. You are the preserver of life, mighty God, the strong one, God of great mercy and compassion, creator and sustainer of the universe. Lord God, we know as believers that you promise to be with us and never forsake us. Help us to rest in that promise during this unsettling time. Lord, there is much suffering and uncertainty and worry throughout the world during this pandemic. We know, though, that you are in control, and we see your mighty hand at work. We know of your mercy and grace. We pray that the unsaved will also see these merciful and gracious acts of yours and will desire to learn more about you. And as a result, souls will be saved as they learn the truth of your word and the gospel message. Be with our national and state leaders in this country. Give them wisdom and stamina to do what they need to do during this crisis. And be with our Christian leaders in particular to help them to be intentional in relying upon you. And may their belief and trust in you be obvious to the American public, that your name would be glorified and make people ask about the reason of the hope within you. I pray that people in our country will put aside petty differences in politics, put aside selfish demands, and will continue in unity to help one another. Lord, help us as believers to be examples to others around us as we love our neighbors as ourselves. God, as we at Wausau Bible Church continue meeting Sundays to worship you, though in a different venue and without face-to-face fellowship, we still desire to worship you, listen to you speak to us through your word, and continue in our worship and service to you throughout the week ahead in whatever creative, God-honoring ways we can. May you find us seeking ways to minister to others, praying, continuing to read and study and meditate on your word. Elohim, may we rest in knowing and trusting the strong one who keeps covenant and preserves the human race. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Ray, for sharing that with us. We'll actually be looking at Elohim a little bit more as we get into our message here this morning. So I'd invite you to take your Bibles at this time. You may want to grab a Bible, a pen, maybe a little piece of paper that you can use to write down some notes. There is a little bit of a homework assignment, something that I hope will be an encouragement to you later on in the message. So you'll want to jot that down. But as you're turning to Hebrews 11 in your Bibles, I want to actually talk to the kids for just a minute. Those of you kids who are listening, put down your Legos for just a second here. Maybe put down the book that you have on your lap or your crayons and just listen for a moment. Kids, let me ask you this question. Who is bigger, you or your friend? Think of the closest friend you have and answer the question, who is bigger? All right? That might be hard because you say, well, depends on which friend I'm talking about, or some of my friends are taller, some of them are shorter. Okay. Who's bigger? You or your dad? That's a little easier, right? Okay, well, let me ask you this question. Who's bigger, your dad or your house? I hope you wouldn't say my dad's as big as a house. No, the house is probably bigger than your dad, right? Okay, what's bigger, your house or Rib Mountain? Now, if you live in a house that's bigger than Rib Mountain, we got to talk, okay? But I don't think that's the case. What's bigger, Rib Mountain? Rib Mountain's pretty big. What's bigger, Rib Mountain or the world? Well, the world is bigger. You probably got every single one of those right. Well, guess what? The Bible teaches us that God actually holds the world and the moon and the sun and the stars and all the other planets and all of them all together. Everything that we know, the Bible teaches us that God holds it right here in the palm of his hand. So God is bigger than everything we know put together. Kids, our God is bigger am more powerful than anything in this world or even everything in space all put together. And you know what? That big God, he knows you by name and he loves you. That huge, massive God who can do all of these, he knows you by name and he loves you. You say, I'm pretty small. So am I. I'm bigger than you, but I'm really small compared to God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This massive, mighty, magnificent God and how he has shown himself to us and how we can trust him with our family and our church and even our own lives. We're going to see that God and look at why he is trustworthy. So with that, let's take a few moments to consider Hebrews chapter 11 and follow along as I read verses 1 through 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, Father, we would ask your blessing on our time in your word. Would your spirit open our eyes? Help us to understand. And would you work in our hearts, settling our souls on your goodness and your kindness and your care? You are trustworthy. In Jesus' name. Amen. I am really, really thankful that over the last couple of weeks, I have heard many people say, hey, we just need to trust God. That's an encouraging thing to hear, because that's something that we don't often hear in our world, in our society. So what I mean by that is, I have heard people say things like that, of just trusting God. In the grocery store, in the gas station, you don't hear that in regular American life outside of the church. And so it's encouraging when you hear that we need to trust God. But what is it that people mean when they say trust God? And why is it that we can actually trust him? Why would we turn to him and trust him during this time? Especially people who have had really no previous relationship with God, why would they see it as a viable alternative to trust God now? The virus has shut down the world. Is God bigger than that? Well, I think Hebrews 11 really helps us here. As you look at Hebrews 11, you see that faith, that theme of faith, is just strewn throughout this chapter of the Bible. Verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith, by its very definition, is a belief. It is a trust. It's a trust in someone or something that is unseen. We may see the result, we may see the effect, but not the cause behind it. So this passage is going to connect our faith, our trust to someone who is not seen. Notice verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. This is the object of our trust, our faith. He who comes to God must believe, must faith that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so there are a couple of different things that we learn here, and I just want to share them with you and hope that you will mull these things over and really ponder them in the week ahead. The first thing I want us to see is this, that you must believe that God is. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He is, that He exists. That He is who He says He is. God always is what He is. That's the idea behind verse 6. So to believe in God means to believe that He is who He says He is. He'll do what He says He will do. He is trustworthy. That's what we would call that. So this is the starting line for all people. And I believe that it is one of the ways in which this COVID-19 issue can be used for some good. You might be asking yourself, what good could come of this? Well, here is something that is very good that could come out of this. And what is it? That there's an opportunity for many more people to be more open than ever to the notion that maybe there is a God. Now, even if they're questioning why would God allow this to happen, they are acknowledging that there is a God. So someone may say, well, I may not know who He is and I may not know what He's like, but I am more open than ever to the possibility of the existence of a God. That's a good thing. So, friend, if that's as far as you are on your journey, I haven't been open to that in the past, but now I am open to that. If that marks progress from 2 weeks ago, then you're heading in the right direction. That's a good thing. In fact, it is actually a grace of God to bring us to that point. Because otherwise, we are sucked into a self-centered way of thinking, which says, all of this is about me, and it's bad because it's affecting me negatively. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What am I not seeing? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is, that God is. They must have faith that He is. And so, friend, I would say that if you're heading in the right direction, you're open to the possibility of an existence of God, that is a good thing for which I am very, very thankful. Now, let's keep moving in the text. The text tells us something else about this matter of trust and belief, and this is probably going to be helpful for any who are listening, whether they have already acknowledged that God is the sovereign ruler of all things or not. So number one, you must believe that God is, verse 6. Number two, you must believe that God has revealed Himself to us. What a blessing that God has revealed Himself to sinful men and women. I think that what may be the most encouraging part of any trial or struggle or suffering is this, that God is present in all of it and that He's not silent. He desires for us to know Him. He desires actually to communicate with us. Well, the book of Hebrews talks about that in three important ways. We saw one of them already in verse 3. See it again? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So you must believe that God has revealed himself to us. One way in which he has done that, one way in which he's revealed himself to all of us, is in his world. Very simply, unless a person chooses to harden their heart, they can look at the beauty of God's creation and say, someone wise and wonderful made all of this. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Psalm 19, 1 talks about the vastness of the heavens. Well, guess what? The coronavirus didn't change the heavens. It may change and affect our little lives, and that's not to minimize that. That our lives are affected and that struggling does take place. But God has revealed himself to us. And he has done so in his creation. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. I'm going to read for you Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 through 17. And just soak this in. This is the message from God as to who he is and the power he has over creation. He says in Isaiah says in verse 10 of chapter 40, behold, the Lord God comes with might and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his recompense before him. Now listen to verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. So in verse 10, you hear might and power and strength and rule. In verse 11, there's some compassion. He'll tend his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs in his arms. He'll carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. That's great news for us. In fact, it sets us up well to hear the rest of the passage. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? And marked off the heavens with a span, and closed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? No one, right? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations, all of the world, even combined, are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing, an emptiness. And you see this portrait of a God who is so far beyond our thoughts or imagination. And yet in verse 11, he loves his flock and he cares for us and he's tender. An interesting fact that's associated with that name Elohim, which Ray read to us earlier. Elohim carries with it a direct tie to God as the creator God. So again, Genesis 1, in the beginning, Elohim, the strong and mighty one, created. That term created is only used of God in the Bible. It's not used of men. This is because men don't create. Men reconfigure, they recalibrate, they reform things. We don't create out of nothing. We lack that power, that ingenuity, that ability to create from nothing. But God, on the other hand, creates from nothing. And again, notice Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So he creates out of nothing by his word. Friend, let me say this, that whatever situation you are facing in your life, I want to encourage you to remember that name, Elohim. The strong one. He does not need raw material with which to work. He doesn't need logic. He doesn't need tangible solutions in order to accomplish his goals. All he needs is himself. And all you need is faith in his name that he can do all he purposes to do. D.A. Carson's a theologian, a pastor. He wrote a hymn called To the Praise of His Glorious Grace. It's based off of a passage in Ephesians, but listen to the opening line. Carson says, "What astonishing mercy and power, in accord with his pleasure and will. He created each planet, each flower, every galaxy, microbe, and hill." Coronavirus, as far as I'm concerned, is a microbe. He suspended the planet in space to the praise of his glory, his glorious grace. Believer, God exists, and he has revealed himself in this world in which we are privileged to live. If you've never come to a place where you have trusted in Christ alone as your only hope for salvation from your sin, if you've never dove into the scriptures to understand your meaning and purpose in life and why we're all here and what is all going on, begin with this. Believe that God has revealed himself to us and he has done so in his world, but it gets even better. Because the book of Hebrews teaches us that God has revealed himself, number two, in his word. Not only in his world, but in his word. This chapter here, chapter 11, it's all about faith. Well, the question naturally comes down to this, faith in what? There really is no such thing as objectiveless faith. It has to be in something. It has to be in someone. When we study the Bible, we make it a practice here to study in context. So we look at the verses before or after, or if they are referencing something that happened in the past, we want to go there and look at it. We're not going to take the time to go back into Genesis this morning. But in verse 4, notice verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous." God testifying. To testify means to express verbally, right? To give an honest report. God did what? God testified of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. In other words, we're still talking about it today. So what does verse 4 mean when it says Abel by faith offered a better sacrifice? If you were to go back into the historical account in the book of Genesis of Cain and Abel, here's what we'd see. That God gave Cain and God gave Abel these commands of what they were supposed to bring as a sacrifice to God. And Abel did something that Cain did not. Abel believed God. Abel had faith that what God was asking for, that what God was doing was right and good, and his faith was what God had revealed to them in his words. God told them to do something. Now you see this all throughout the chapter. Look at verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God," being divinely warned. In verse 8, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called." you can see the same emphasis as you turn back in the book of Hebrews. So turn back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This book has a heavy emphasis on God's word because you cannot trust God apart from trusting his word. They go hand in hand. What he has said is as trustworthy as who he is. God always is who he is. So in chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So is it any wonder that we must fill our minds with the truth of God's word? Because as we do so, we know God. And what we find is that God is trustworthy. He's trustworthy in our daily lives. He's trustworthy to save us from a sinner's hell. He is trustworthy to provide new life. He's trustworthy to care. The truth of the word is essential to a strong faith, trust in God. In God we trust. I hope we trust his word. Because you can't trust him without trusting his word. You can't really believe in him without believing what he has said to be true. Now, for our last point, let's turn back to chapter 1. I want us to see a third way in which God has revealed himself to us. He's revealed himself in his world. He has revealed himself in his word. And then chapter 1, Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. Would you follow along? God who at various times and in various ways spoke, word, right? Spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken, word, to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world's creation. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The Bible teaches us that the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, came to earth and became a man. That's what Christmas is all about. Celebrating the birth of Emmanuel, which is who? God with us. This Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without sin, to prove that he was the Son of God. This Jesus taught with authority and power to prove that he was the Son of God. This Jesus performed miracles to show, to prove that he was the Son of God. And then, and this is what Easter is all about, he died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, to prove he was the Son of God. Because only a perfect sacrifice could pay the price for our sins. If you've never placed your faith in Christ alone, by faith, would you trust him today? Trust that when God says the only way to be right with him is through the blood of his Son, believe that by faith. That there is hope, a new life, a new birth waiting for you, believe that today. It's faith. Trust in what Jesus, in what God has said about Jesus Christ. That all who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust, faith, would be saved. This is what God has said. This is how God has revealed himself through his Son. You see, when we talk about trusting God, we just need to trust God more during these times. When we talk about trusting God, we're talking about believing that He exists and that He has revealed Himself to us in His world and in His Word and in His Son. So, believer, those of you who are living by faith, that the shed blood of Jesus is your only hope for salvation. Believer, when you say that we need to trust God during this COVID-19 situation, let that trust God be something that sets you apart from so many. What are we trusting? We are trusting that as God has revealed Himself to us, He is faithful in all that He has said in this world, in His Word, and through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His Son. So, when you say you are trusting in God, is this what you're talking about? I am trusting in the Creator of heaven and earth. I am trusting in Elohim. I am trusting in the truth of God's Word. I am trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross. What a wonderful opportunity God has given to us to speak truthfully about what we should really be putting our trust in. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible. Without trust in Him, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is who He says He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What does that mean? You will find out that He is trustworthy. And there is hope for the sinner. Praise God, He shows us our sin so that we can then trust in Him. The Bible teaches that because Jesus Christ fully experienced sin and the chaotic trials that sin produces, He is very aware, He is sensitive to the difficulties that we are experiencing even today. Jesus had disease in His day. Disease that divided societies, that separated people from other people. Disease that was highly contagious. Jesus is very aware of all of that. And since He is a loving God, He uses His creative power to come to our aid in time of need. Now, we see it in Scripture. It doesn't mean that He promises to deliver us from all of our difficult situations and circumstances, but He does promise to deliver us from the chains of our own sin, our own wrong responses, those things which will destroy joy and hope and peace. This is all available because He is a faithful Creator. And He promises to provide, by grace, endurance so that we may use trouble as an opportunity ultimately to glorify Him. Believer, is that your focus? Whatever's going on here, I want to please God. I want to live for Him. I want to show the world that He's trustworthy. May God give you the wisdom to make those applications, to buy up the opportunities that He gives us. Now, here's a homework assignment for you, and I'm not going to be checking in on this, but hopefully this will be a great help to you maybe in the week ahead. So if you've got a pen and paper, I'd encourage you to write down these four passages. I'm going to give you just four passages of Scripture, and then I'll explain what I think would be a great exercise, what you could do with them. Write down Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Psalm 9, 9 and 10. Then Psalm 32, verses 10 through 11. Psalm 32, 10 through 11. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. And then John 14, 1 and the following verses, as far as you want to read. You just keep going. Here's a great little exercise. You can split this up however you want. You can do it throughout the week, maybe just one a day and really, really chew on the principle. Maybe you want to do them all at once. However, whatever works for you. But ask yourself these questions or questions like it. What do these verses teach you about trusting God? What do these verses teach you about trusting God? Number two, in a very practical way, how do you find it difficult, or where do you find it difficult to trust Him? It is not wrong to admit that we have difficulty trusting. We live so much of our lives by sight rather than faith, as the author of Hebrews teaches us. So identify, where do you find it difficult to actually trust Him? And then how can these passages practically help you trust God in your daily routine? In other words, what would it look like if you were to actually begin to live these verses or think this way? Or how can they impact you and strengthen you today? I think there'll be a helpful little exercise as we, again, just prepare our minds for whatever God has in store for us in the future. We want to put the Word of God into our minds. That is how God reveals His faithfulness, His trustworthiness to us. It is what will strengthen our Hebrews 11 faith. Certainly, if I can be of any help to you, if we can help you think biblically in trouble, about opportunities, about trusting God, please contact us. You can send an email or a phone call, a text message, whatever works for you. Just please contact us. We would count it such a privilege to show you how you can have victory in this area of your life. Victory means I'm trusting, I'm taking those steps. I'm trusting God more today than I did yesterday. More than I did today than I did 2 weeks ago. I'm growing in my trust. I'm, as we talked about last week, casting more of my care and my burden on Him, knowing that He cares for me. So with that, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll talk just a few minutes before I let you go and give you some important information here. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for our time in Hebrews 11. What we do with this is now on us. I pray that we would be a people of faith who grow in our understanding that You love us and have revealed Yourself. It's not just that You exist, but You have made a concerted effort to show us who You are. You've revealed Yourself to us in this vast creation. You have continually shown Yourself faithful through the account held for us in Scripture. And You have certainly shown Yourself faithful in the redemptive promises of Your Son. We praise You for being a God who loves and invests everything so that we might live and live life abundantly for You. Would we use these passages to increase our faith, submitting ourselves to You? God, You are able to keep Your promise because no opposition can compare with the Creator of all things. That's what we read about in Isaiah. And You are the one we cast all this in front of. Do a good work. Help us to see You at work. and may we submit to your work. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. A couple of things that I would like to make you aware of. This is specifically for those of you at Wausau Bible Church, friends and family of Wausau Bible Church. Certainly for those of you who are regular attenders and members of the church here, the question may have come up in your mind. It certainly has in the minds of others as they have contacted us this last week. But what do I do about giving? We realize the lights have to stay on, the electricity has to keep going. What do we, our missionaries, you know, they're still on the field ministering, even among some of the shutdown mentality that we are experiencing, they're experiencing that as well. And so we have a responsibility to be good stewards with the commitments that we have made. So what do we do about giving? Well, there are three ways that you can continue to give systematically, regularly here to the ministries of Wausau Bible Church. You can certainly go online to wausaubiblechurch.org and give electronically through our website. That's a secured service, and you can give either with a credit card or directly out of your savings or checking account. And so I would encourage you to visit our website. You may also mail your check or drop it off at church. So there's three ways. If you do mail your check or drop it off at church, two things. Number one, please, if you do use offering envelopes, deliver that in your offering envelope so that we are able to keep accurate track of the giving over these weeks. And so you can just put your offering envelope inside of another envelope and then mail it. Or you can just drop your envelope, your giving envelope, off here at the church. Our desire is to maintain regular office hours. And so you can, between 9 and 3, our secretaries will be here. Someone will be here to take that from you and make sure it gets deposited accordingly. Some of you have asked, how long are we going to be doing this? We don't know, obviously. We have no idea. The situation changes day by day. That is in the Lord's hands. Much of it is. But I would encourage you with this. The church goes on. We preach this. Now is an opportunity for us to live it, that the church is not the building. The church are the people, the gathering of the people. And so we can still be a blessing to other people and one another and care for each other. I would encourage you to make phone calls. I would encourage you to send letters. Just so you know, this coming week, I have a membership meeting scheduled, some counseling, Bible study, and discipleship, all taking place this week. And so the ministry of Wausau Bible Church continues on, and I'd encourage you to continue on. You may have to change how you do things. Maybe it's better for you, it's wise for you to meet over the phone and pray over the phone. But please be thinking, be praying, be working on some special ways to be a blessing to people. We're looking at a couple of special ways to be a blessing to some of our elderly saints, and we'll be implementing that this coming week and looking forward to that. Lord willing, we'll be posting some short devotional videos on our website that you'll be able to access, and I hope that'll be a blessing to you. But let's keep churching, right? Let's keep one anothering and living the life that God has called us to. You know, ask yourself, in the meantime, how can you serve the body? And there are still, I'm sure, many ways. And then lastly, let me just make reference to our Connection newsletter. If you have an email address, this was sent to your email this last week in a PDF form. If you didn't get it or you were unable to open it, please let the church office know. We want you to get this because we're hoping that it'll serve as a type of lifeline to keep connected with prayer requests and birthdays and updates from our missionaries and things like that. So again, if we can be of any help to you, please contact us. We would delight in hearing from you, and we'll be praying for you as you continue serving the Lord through this difficult time. Well, to God be the glory, and praying that you will have a blessed week as you live for our Lord and serve him. May God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.